Okay. Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Robbie from Ocean City, New Jersey.
Wow, look at that. Good evening, everybody. My name is Robbie, and I am an alcoholic. What's happening? Through the grace of God, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, a strong, home group, a team of sponsors, and the fact that I've taken a lot of sponsors, it's not a joke, and the fact that I've taken the 12 steps out of this book called The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and placed them in my life. I've been a member of AA in good standing since Halloween of 1983. And, so if you're counting, I just celebrated 26 years, and my friend was there to witness it, Mary Beth, out in St. Thomas, United States Virgin Islands. Had a good time. Yeah, it gets a little better for the newcomer, it really does. I love sobriety. I'm one of those alcoholics that love sobriety. I'm one of those alcoholics that I'm not afraid to let my light shine. I'm one of those alcoholics that's happy, joyous, and free. I'm one of those alcoholics that has a big book, you know what I mean? And knows what's in it. And I'm one of those alcoholics that has a few sponsors, and I sponsor quite a few guys. So you might not like me already, and that's okay. But I'm also, I like this dude say he's a real alcoholic. Well, I'm a real member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like how Bill put in here about the real alcoholic. You know, but for me, I'm a real member of Alcoholics Anonymous. That means I go to meetings. That means that on Thursday mornings, if you're down in Ocean City, New Jersey, and you come to my home group at 7:30, I'll have the coffee on, and I'll be chairing that meeting every Thursday this month. That means tomorrow night, on Tuesday night, I host a penitentiary meeting every Tuesday night. And I'll be there tomorrow night with my guys. You know what I mean? That are my guys, man. They're, you know, Bubba, Jose, and Spider, but they're my guys. They're good guys. And that means there's not been a lot of times in Alcoholics Anonymous where I haven't had a title, some type of AA title. GSR, DCM, delegate, chairperson of a convention, coffee maker. I've been my area corrections chair, newsletter chair. Secretary of Unimportant Stuff. I mean, I've done all kind of whatever. I've done it, you know, anniversary chairman. I love that. I love running picnics and stuff and getting all that stuff going. But most importantly, I'm a real alcoholic. Like my friend said, that right how it works. And that means I can't drink. That means I can't drink anything. That means that I know what that means. That means that I got to do some work. That means I got to pick up the spiritual kit of tools that are laid at my feet. That's mentioned in this faith book. And one of my favorite tools is AA meetings. Coming here and putting myself amongst you people. You know, on page 77 of the book, it says our job is to be at a place where we can be of maximum service to God and others. What better place than right here? Right here in Alcoholics Anonymous, where there's newcomers. Thank God, when this guy got to Alcoholics Anonymous, there were guys that were there for me, and women that were there for me, that had tons of sobriety, but were still here at groups like this, making coffee, sitting up front, you know, standing by the door, sitting out there by the door, man, you know what I mean? And like saying to me afterwards, yo, you want something to eat? No, I'm all right. Come on, come with us. All right. You know, just good AA members. And so that's my job today, to fill in their shoes. And I like doing it. A lot of speakers, when they get a chance to stand at a podium, you know, will tell you their story, okay? I can't do that tonight, man. Because if I was up here telling you my story would have ended up in a penitentiary somewhere. If I was just to tell you my story tonight, it would have ended up in a morgue or a state mental institution. Therefore, I have no choice other than to tell you God's story. What happened when God got involved with a dude like me. Okay, straight up. Because I'm a dude that should be doing penitentiary time. I'm a guy that could be in a mental institution taking Thorazine, man. You know what I mean? Running the day room, you know, songs or something. You know what I mean? Or I should be the dude with a little tag on my tail with my mama coming to the morgue or my little sister having to identify me. That's who I am. Real alcoholic. ended up in institutions, rehabs, prisons. You know, I know what it's like to hear guards. Right now we'd be in the day room, you know, in the prisons that I was in Philadelphia. You know, seeing what was, you know, getting ready for Monday Night Football, you know, or whatever. You know, getting ready to fight somebody. You know, or playing some spades. You know, with my boxer shorts, my Muscle Man T-shirt, which I still wear, and my shower shoes. You know, who's up? You know, who's up now? And I'm glad I'm not there anymore. By the way, you know, and I know I'm not a conventional speaker. By the way, I'm not going to keep everybody happy tonight. I'm not going to say the most appropriate things. I'm just going to say what comes out of my heart. You know, and I think that by the time I'm done sharing, at the very least, that you'll understand that I belong here. I fought for my seat. I fought for my seat in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I belong to a group where I'm one of the only guys that comes in a suit every day because of what I do for my living. And I don't care. You know, I mean, I force them to like me. Like, they don't have a choice. You've got to, I don't care, I'm a bunch, all these blue-collar workers, you know, Vinny the Bat, Joey the Brick, and all these guys, you know, from where I'm from in southern New Jersey, and they're all like, you know, roofers, like, I don't, yeah, you know, and all that. And I'm the guy, I'm the professional. And you know what, I don't let them hold that against me. I don't let them look at me as any different than them. Because I'm a guy just like them that'll be walking down those jail tiers. I'm the guy just like them that'll be bumping a few quarters on the boardwalk to get a bottle of Night Train wine. So I belong, and so do you. You know, if you're sitting here, you know, tonight, and sometimes you don't think that you measure up, you know, or unfortunately you think that you measure down. You know, we have to, you know, on the top of the heap or the bottom of the heap. No. We're all of the same caliber. I heard a speaker one time, this is great, I love this. I heard a speaker one time say that the alcoholic is like a dung beetle. A dung beetle, if you don't know what a dung beetle is, a dung beetle is a beetle that gets on a big pile of poop, all right? And it gets its back legs and it burrows down right in the middle of it, you know, where it's real warm and right in the middle of it, and he feels real comfortable. And that's like us alcoholics, huh? Sometimes, like, you know, like, I remember when I was new and I got some time, I don't know, I had 6 or 7 months, and there was, like, nothing wrong in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't on the run from the police. I kind of had it. I had a room. I had a couple dollars in my pocket. You know, I wasn't in no fight the night before and whatever. I was just, you know, and they were like, how you doing? I'm like, horrible! What's wrong? Nothing. But we're children of chaos, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? I'm comfortable with being on the run from the law. I'm comfortable walking a room thinking, okay, who's going to come after me? You know, I'm comfortable worried about, you know, what's going to happen to me next. Or, you know, being in a gospel mission. Or, you know what I mean? Or getting, you know, checked into a prison or something. I'm okay there. But heaven forbid you get me sober. And I sit in the room and I, you know, change my language and I start acting like a man. Huh? And I have to get a job. Sorry to curse for some of you people. But I gotta get a job and I gotta get a sponsor and I gotta start acting appropriately. That's tough for me. I'm a children of chaos. I'm like that guy that puts his head out the window every morning and a guy hits me over the head with a sledgehammer. Well, and it hurts. Next morning, I guess what? I do the same thing. I open up the window and I put my head out there again. And there's that dude with the sledgehammer. Bang, over the head. The third day, the same thing happens. I put my head out the window. He ain't out there, so I go looking for him. Why? Because I feel comfortable in that. I feel comfortable when there's chaos around me. And I can't explain that to you. Other than to say I'm a drunk. Other than to say that there's for years I had to drink and do all those other things and somehow live out there in the world. And survive in these institutions, okay? With no family, nobody taking care of me but me. Robbing, stealing, cheating, conniving, whoring, whatever was next, I did. Huh? And so when I come into AA, you know what I mean? Like, I like the chaos, I like the rumors, I like the gossips, I like all that stuff. I like the fights and, you know, who, yeah. You know? I wasn't comfortable. You know, with the jests of this room and the people that are really sober. You know what I mean? And all these guys in the back that got titles like, you know, stay away, man. You know what I mean? I don't need that big book. And don't hug me, please. Okay. so I got you started. And in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's a solution on the right-hand side, second paragraph down. It says, we're like the passengers on a great ship liner, the moment after escape from shipwreck. All right? Where joyousness, camaraderie, and democracy pervade the vessel. Isn't that great? We get to AA, and man, it kicked my butt, and I went to prison. And the next guy says, yeah, I went to the penitentiary. I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're shipwrecked on this island called Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I got kicked out by the parents. You know, he threw me up. Yeah, me too. You know what I mean? And I was in 10 rehabs. I had 12. Yeah. Rock and roll. I got to get to know you. You know? And isn't that great? But Bill Wilson says, that's great, huh? It's a good start. Because then you got to read Bill Wilson, the next paragraph, the third paragraph down. And what that says is, but that in itself, the fact that we have a common thread, is only one of the powerful elements of cement that holds us together as we are here today. Our stories. I love our stories. I love stories. I love going to meetings and hear stories. Sometimes you hear alcoholics saying, I don't want to hear that drunk a lot. I want to hear about your recovery. <You know? laughs> And that's cool. That's cool. Don't forget, we have a lot of stories back here. There's a reason for it. Okay, identification. So I love hearing a good drunk a lot. I love hearing a guy say, yeah, and at 4 a.m, she kicked me out of the house, threw my stuff out the window, the cop pulled up, I'm like, go. I'm sitting on the front row saying, go. What's next? You know, I'm like, somebody says, start telling me, shut up, man, this is getting good. You know? And so I look at good. I like what you guys have gone through, a lot of crap like me. Like, I'll listen, give it up. You know, I need to hear that to know I'm not in the same boat together. But what Bill Wilson says, that is only one of the powerful elements of cement that holds us together as we're here today. He says in the next sentence, the tremendous fact is that we found a common solution. All right? One in which we can agree. If you know this last word, I think you do because it's part of your group name. One that we can agree and join in brotherly and harmonious. Oh, yeah, that's right. Whoever said action, you guys will like me, okay? Because if you know what's in the book, you'll like me, okay? And that's what we do. That's why I'm here tonight. I love seeing this stuff. I love big groups like this. I love hearing laughter, the music of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Because many years I wasn't laughing. All kidding aside, when I was sitting in that jail cell at 10:55, when it was lights out, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing when I had nobody to write to. I wasn't laughing when I knew my little sister really wanted her big brother home. I wasn't laughing when I knew my mom was ashamed of what had happened to her son. You know what I mean? I wasn't laughing. But today we can. You know? Today we're not a glum lot. Today it says in there, it says in this book, it says, newcomers couldn't see the joy in our existence. Why would they want to stick around? Thank God when I got to AA, you people weren't a glum lot. You know, for all the craziness I went through, it was a little fun. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I'm not making no statements there. I know some people go, I never had a good time drinking. Whatever works for you. Okay? I mean, I stole cars. I robbed cars. I mean, I had some wild times. You know, Eagles are all life on the fast lane. And, you know, woo! You know, and partying up, man. You know what I mean? I had some wild times. I didn't come here because life. I got here because I was driven here under the lash of alcoholism. Straight up. This was the last house on the block. I didn't come here over no moral high top. Right? I didn't wake up one morning and say, Lord, I am ready to come into your kingdom. You know what I mean? I think I drink too much booze. And I heard about this AA thing. Let's see what it's like. You know, no. I got driven here kicking and screaming. You know, thrown into here backwards, my head coming to the door and hitting the door, and somebody up in the door saying, you know, what are you here for? I'm like, I don't know, it is a mistake. You know? But it wasn't. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and went to Catholic schooling. Had great mother and father, great mom and pop. You know, I was a Catholic kid. That means I was an altar boy. That means I rang the bells when the priest raised the host and the chalice. You know, that means I had hair part on the side. That means I wore a blue a suit jacket with paisley pants and stuff, and I was a good kid. I was in the Mayflower procession. I sang Kumbaya, My Lord. You know what I mean? Saw a couple Catholics. And, you know, I was a good kid. I was smart. I was smart in school. I was in the top class. And I'll tell you how sick I am. I loved the Catholic nuns. How many times have you heard that from the speaker? It's always like, I hate it. I'm going to kill me and stuff like that. Hey, whatever. You know? I loved them. I loved the nuns. I did it with Sister Gertrude Mary. Can I clap the erasers today? I mean, I loved school. I did the biggest science project. The other kids hated me. Loved everything about school. Then 8th grade summer, I went to a Yes concert. Straight up, dude. Don't light no lighters. We're in a church. For those that didn't, that's a rock and roll, acid, psychedelic group. They sang Roundabout, All Good People, Close to the Edge, you know. And like, we're on the way to Yes concert. Now, growing up as a kid, I hung around Danny and Bobby and Joey, all right? Now, in high school, okay, as I'm 8th grade summer, as I'm meeting these kids on the corners now, I'm hanging out with Bones, Lumpy, and Killer. Small change, small. And we're all drinking shots of... Now, I can only tell my story the way I tell my story. I can't be generic, and I can't be general. And if I say something that offends you, just call your sponsor later tonight. Get it out of the way. A lot of sponsors have called me from all throughout the United States. Are you Robbie W. from Ocean City, New Jersey? Yeah. Hey, thanks, dude. You got my sponsor to call me. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't like you a lick, but thank you. So we're on the way to Yes concert, and I'm doing shots of Southern Comfort out of the cap, I think like you're supposed to, put it in a drink. I'm doing shots of Southern Comfort, 100% Southern whiskey, right, and eating nacho cheese Dorito corn chips. Yeah. I said that recently in an Al-Anon convention, they all sat there like this. Hello? Hey, the alcoholics know what happens with those nacho cheese Dorito corn chips, you know what I mean? And they're pointy, you know? Yes, right. Had I known what was going to happen during Roundabout at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, I'd have been eating mashed potatoes on the way down, you know what I mean? So here it is, you know, now, by the way, any pukers, just raise your hand. Thank you. I'm not talking about puking, okay? I'm talking about projectile vomit. Puking's like, I'll give you the difference. Puking's like you're playing 8-ball, you know what I mean? And I say, hey, Joey, do me a favor, hold my shot. You go in the bathroom, you puke. You know, it's 11:30 at night. You puke, you come back out. Okay, what are we, straights or solids? Okay, you got your puke in. You can drink a little, get out a couple pitchers or two more pitchers. Now, projectile vomiting, you're just like singing, I'll be the rap-boom. You know what I mean? It's really not cool when you're 12 and a half years old and you don't know what's going on. You know, just before that, you're like, yo, I love you, man. I love Bones. Give me a hug. He's like, dude, stay away. And I love all everybody. I'm singing Roundabout. I mean, I'm just having a blast. Got the concert t-shirt on. And woo. And I project Obama and this dude with real long hair. And purple and orange, goes to the Southern Comfort and nacho cheese. Chunky. And I blacked out. And I blacked out. First drunk. I got drunk. I had a great time. I got drunk, blacked out, woke up at my lawn in Northeast Philadelphia, and my boys, yeah, you know, drunk start, get out of the car, come on, man. Your mom will find you. And my mom found me on my property where I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia. Again, I'm 17 and a half years old. I just graduated high school. And now I thought, see, when you're drunk for the first time, you don't really realize what's going on. And I thought she was making fun of me, right? Because I'm laying there like, stuff, oh, ew. And she looked down at me and she said, like, I saw like three heads and she was talking really weird. And she was like, Robbie, what's wrong with I go, I'm not in a good space, Mom. Why are you messing with me, you know? And I looked up at her and I said, I don't need. I can handle her, you know what I mean? And she proceeded to put me in a shower, obviously, and I heard all the stuff, and I got grounded. And of course, I got back to the corner, and all the old heads, all these 14 and 15-year-olds, and they're all, remember, did you ever see him? Goodfellas with Ray Liotta. Yeah. I love that movie. I'm sorry, I love mom. Good mom movie. And Ray Liotta got out of the penitentiary. He was a stand-up guy. When you're a stand-up guy, that means you don't give nobody up. You know, you do your time. You know, who were you with? Nobody. So you do your time. You don't rat nobody out, right? You're a stand-up guy. So Ray Liotta was a stand-up guy. He got out of the penitentiary in Goodfellas. You remember this? He comes down the courtroom steps, and there's all the, you know, the Goodfellas. There's all the wise guys. You know, big Polly, little Polly, fat Polly, and they're all hugging him. And, hey, you're a good guy. So, well, when I got back to the corner at Tacony Park in Northeast Philadelphia, there was Bones on the Killer. Hey! You know, none of our moms got called, and you're a good dude. You know, we didn't get in trouble, and you puked, and oh, man, you were a pretty funny dude. And I was like, yeah! I felt like I had arrived. I felt like I became part of the gang. I made my bones, so to speak. You know, I was in this thing of ours, this drunken thing, you know, this alcoholic thing, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved being the head tap man at the keg parties. You know what I mean? I love going around. Like, today I do the AA picnics for my home group. Like, I get, you know, who's doing this and who's doing that? Who's bringing the coffee pots? Who's doing the, you know, the ambrosia or something, you know? And, like, I was going around then, like, who's got $5? Come on, we're getting a keg, you know? And so I was a big keg guy. I loved drinking in the playgrounds. I loved getting drunk. And what I always heard at the end of the evening, whenever I would come in the next day, for my mom and dad was, you know, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. What is wrong? Why are you doing this? You know, and I got accepted at this private Catholic high school with all guys that I definitely didn't want to go to. It was very expensive, but I went because that's where the parents wanted me to go. I wanted to go to the public school with all the chicks, you know, but whatever. And so I go to this private Catholic high school, and I'm taking all the top classes, you know, Algebra 2 and trigonometry and physics and chemistry and biology and all that stuff. And I hate it. All of a sudden, I hate school. And that's why I painted the picture pre-alcohol for you. Okay, not to impress you, but to tell you what happens when a guy like me drinks, okay? Everything, man, was just, I mean, I played sports. I was quarterback on the football team. I was shortstop on the baseball team. I was starting shooting guard on the basketball team, or, you know, the freshman teams, all the kids my age and all, because I'd always played CYO ball and played for this team called Holmesburg Boys Club. So, I was athletic. You know, and I was really into that. And that was usually, I had a lot of jock friends, but I also had like a lot of like alcohol, or we used to call burnout friends, you know. How you doing? Whoa, really good, dude. You know, yo, Mrs. Walker, how are you? Real long hair and stuff. Ugh. But, okay, so that's who I was, okay. Sports started becoming non-important. High school started becoming non-important. Grades started becoming non-important. My family started becoming non-important. None of that stuff was important. You know, why? What came first? Alcohol. Because I know today that I was powerless over alcohol. I could hear from my mom, you pick up a drink and you're out of the house. I pick up a drink. I can hear from my little sister, please don't drink. You know, I won't look up to you. I'll pick up a drink. I can hear from the police, pick up another drink, or the judge, and you come in front of me again, you're going to go to the prison. I pick up a drink. I'm powerless over alcohol. In fact, I want to get you guys just to help me for a second. You guys are pretty lively, so this shouldn't be a problem. But remember what it says in How It Works on page 59. It's on the right-hand side. We read it almost at most meetings about how it works. And I want you to help me with it, because a lot of speakers won't even talk about this subject, but I'm going to talk about it. All right. It says, remember, we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. Now, remember one little thing. Alcohol does not want you to repeat this after me. Okay, but let's try it one more time. Okay, let's let alcohol know who the boss is here tonight. It says, remember, we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. And without help, it is too much for us. But there's one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know alcohol was cunning, baffling, and powerful. I'm not that dude that sat on the corner drinking alcohol saying, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. I didn't know it. I didn't know it was taking everything from me. I didn't know, like it says in the first step in the 12 and 12, that glass in hand, my mind was warped. Okay? I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was bleeding of all will to resist its demands. I didn't know that, like it says in our literature. I didn't know it. I had no clue what was doing that to me. I thought it was just fun. I thought, this is great. I couldn't imagine going fishing without some brew. I couldn't imagine going, I'm from Philadelphia, so I would go to Veterans Stadium, okay, to the Eagles games. And I just wouldn't go without a bottle down my pants. Excuse me. I wouldn't go, you know, with my army jacket on. Sometimes I'm, yeah, not appropriate, forgive me. All the women sitting in front of me like, Jesus, see what he just did. And I wouldn't go without getting down in the middle of December to a game without getting drunk. That's part of the deal. I wouldn't play roughhouse football without, you know, a couple of sixes in me. You know, this is great. And I didn't want to go try to meet a girl, you know, without a bottle of Heineken in my hand. You know, listen to Led Zeppelin, you know. Black Dog. I came in, I used to sit in meetings like this, like, what's wrong? I don't know, I just can't stop. I'm a rock and roller, man, you know. Oh, man. So, one day, listen to this. One day I come home. I'm a junior in high school. All right, I'm still playing sports. I'm on the varsity teams now. But I'm really doing, like, I'm stealing from mom and dad. I'm stealing from my little sister. I'm stealing from school. You know, we had already did some, like, bad things, like burglaries down into shore towns, and just bad things. I started doing bad things, and it was cool because, like, I was with these guys, and that's what you're doing when you're from Philadelphia, kind of like you're wannabes. You know, I'm not even Italian that much, you know, but I just thought that I just thought my boys were Bones, Lumpy, and Killer. My name was Weasel, Robbie the Weasel. I like that, you know. And so one day I show up. Now listen to this. I'm playing basketball all day. You know, we're shooting hoops all day. And so I got my Sixers little thing on, my little, back then this is like a little embarrassing, but we had those little paint, those little bottoms. Remember Larry Bird's ugly. Really weird. But I come in, you know, my Chuck Taylor Converse, and I come in, I'm getting ready to run upstairs. It's about 1978. And I'm getting ready to run upstairs to put my Judas cheese on, my black silk shirt, and my Mr. P startup set jewelry, because we're going to a disco that night. I mean, I'm not proud of that, but it's the truth. It says we got to share our full, you know, our experience. Right? No. So I'm getting ready to do this, because we're all going, all the guys are going, and I'm getting ready to do this. I think we're going to the playpen in Wildwood or something. And I'm getting ready to do this, and my mom, and all of a sudden I get a literally, when you look down, like, you know, you're real alcoholic, like, you know when, like, you're in a jackpot, like, all of a sudden, like, ooh, this ain't good, you know, like, there's the cops or something, right? And in my living room is a circle. Like, you ever see that show Intervention? Yeah, this is before the show came out. And there's a big intervention in my living room in 1978. I'm a junior in high school, and I'm half drunk. I got a good buzz, you know, I'm just feeling good, you know, and I'm getting ready, all of a sudden I'm looking down, and I'm like, whoa, and they're like, why don't you come down here, son? My dad's like, any good. So I go down, I sit down, and then remember, I'm a little drunk. So when you're a little drunk, if you go like this, right, just like this, just a little to the right, everybody else stays normal, like you guys are right, normal right now. So I'm sitting there like this, you know, thinking, I don't think they know I'm drunk, you know. And I go through an intervention, and they're telling me all these things about, you hear all the normal things, you know, when you don't drink, you know, when you, we like when you're with Bobby and Danny and Eddie, and, you know, last year at the football banquet, they honored you for this, and we were so proud of you, and you're in the Northeast Times, and, you know, and then you know, my sister would take over, and you're such a great brother, when, you know, you would, you know, help me with my prom, and all this stuff, you know, when I'm not drinking. And then you hear, but when you're drinking, you know, and I started hearing that, you know, what you're really like, and you don't care about us anymore, and your verbiage gets bad, and you're fighting. And you're doing things, and you're saying things, my dad would say, you're saying things to your mother that are unacceptable and inappropriate. You know, and you're just, you know, you're not acting like the good Catholic kid that we raised you to be. And I knew they were right. And I knew they were right. And I'm like, I think most alcoholics, it says in here, a lot of times we tell people that we're going to change. And then what it says in here is, we mean it. Most times we really mean it. We really mean it. This time is going to be different. I'll show you. Because I don't think we really want to be a bad person. I just think we don't understand how cunning, baffling, and powerful is this illness and malady that we have. So, okay, I'll change. And last but not least, I got the learning experience. And the learning experience was I had to go to this thing called Scared Straight. Now, that's the thing where it's these guys from Eastern State Penitentiary or Rahway State Penitentiary. And they're not nice guys at all, in any stretch of the imagination, at any time in life were they ever nice. Okay? They're guys with big muscles, a lot of hair, and all over their body, a lot of tattoos, and they're downright mean. Okay? And they're doing life. But their little gift back to society is to help young thugs like me try to get better. And so I go to this deal, and I'm like the rest of these tough guys and a couple crazy little girls that we go out to this thing. And we're all tough on the way out there. We go in this big van from this rehab and all, you know. And let me tell you something. We weren't tough when we got there. And these inmates were fit. You ever see Seinfeld where it's like, there's going to be like an 8-inch rule? Like, you know, remember that one guy was always like, real next to Seinfeld, ooh. And like, well, these dudes didn't see that episode. And they were right up on you, man. And when you come in here, I'm going to get to know you better. You want me to know you. You want that boy? I'm like, no, sir. Don't call me, sir. Call me cutthroat. Like, okay. You know, and this, and let me tell you something. I'm shaking. I'm crying like a... like a female dog. I won't say that. I'm crying. Straight up. How's that? Okay? I'm crying, man. I'm crying. I'm scared to death. I am scared straight. Until Saturday night. Sorry. And I think it's a great program. And I think it's a wonderful thing they do for non-alcoholics and addicts. But if you're a real alcoholic, man, it don't work. You can't scare me. Because my big book says that, you know, it's coming back in parable. That without help it is too much for us, huh? And it was too much. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to get to know these guys. I don't want to be in the prison with these guys and, you know, be the cellies. I want to stay with Barbie, my girlfriend. But I want to drink, I want to get drunk, and I want to have fun. And so Saturday night I drank again, and it was such a hilarious, I mean, they loved my story about Scare Straight at the Corner, you know? And one thing led to another, and I graduated from high school. And when I graduated from high school, I went down to senior week in Wildwood, New Jersey. What a poor man, straight in drunks. And I went to Wildwood, New Jersey, and I went with my little girlfriend, Barbie. And she's a cheerleader, I was the football player. And the first night there, man, we're all supposed to go to the Red Gar. Remember the Red Gar? We're going to go to, it was Hubert's judgment. I went to judge, she went to St. Hubert's. And we're all going to go to the Red Gar, man, big deal. And so I knocked on her room door, you know, I got my hat on backwards, you know what I mean? And I'm listening to AC/DC on my Walkman on a highway to hell, you know what I mean? Dun, 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 you know? And she's like, take the headphones off. And I do. Hey, how you doing? She says, good. She says, sit down. So I sit down. Now, all the women that are in the audience, I want you to help me finish the sentence that she said to me that evening, because I knew you know. Here's what she said. She said, Robbie, you drink too much for me, and I'm going to have to go in a different
direction.
I hate every one of you women that answered that. Because that's what she said. Now, I'm an alcoholic, right? And what that means is I know what to say, but I don't think about it for like 2 days, you know? You know what I mean? Because I'm a drunk. Because what she's really saying to me is, what she's really saying, if you don't drink this week, I think I still got a small out, guys. You know, I still got a chance to still, like, stay with her. If I just really say, well, you know, Barbie, you mean so much to me, and I want to marry you. And you mean, remember that commercial about the guy, you know, the chick says, well, you jump off the cliff, we get rid of your dog, what about your mom? But what about the Bud Light? Well, that I'm kind of like that dude. You know, he's like, how high is the cliff? And she goes out. And the reality of it is, like, that's what she's saying. She's saying you can't drink. I love her. I do. And I looked at her, and all the stuff's from the yard. I want to stay with you for the rest of my life. We've experienced things for the first time. I like your parents. You like my parents. We're down here for a week together. I won't treat you. And what came out was, okay. That's all that came out. Okay. Okay. She's not changing her mind. And I leave. And I walk out of the hotel room, and I'm downtrodden, right? And I get back to Bones, Lumpy, and Killer. Now, Lumpy is like John Belushi on Animal House. Remember John Belushi? You know, all the chicks hate him, all the women. Yeah, nobody liked Lumpy. He was a real big guy and real gross. He was a pig. But we all liked him, but none of the women liked him. He liked that. But anyway, so Lumpy, I know Lumpy. He's, what's wrong, brother? Weasel? And I'm like, Barb, just let go of me. I'm crying, because we could cry, you know, crying drunks. You know, Barb just let go of me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's like, yeah, that's great, dude. We told all the guys, and we drank all week, and it was just, and that's who I drank with. And that's how I drank. And that's what happens. I start losing things, okay? And all of a sudden, I got a job when I got home from senior week, and I got a job at a bank, okay? I got a job at a lending institution. I had good marks in school. I had good SATs, and I got accepted at a university called Temple University, abroad in Columbia. So now, like, you figure, okay, he's 18 and a half, you know, time to go to college. You know what I mean? Like, grow up, right? Become a bank teller, eventually be vice president, you know. And I did good for about 2 days, okay? Because on that Friday, the first Friday, remember I told you I'm an alcoholic, right? On that first Friday there was these four bank teller girls, and they're all 18 and a half or 19 and a half. They're all, forgive me, they're all smoking as far as I'm concerned. I love each and every one of them more than the next one. And they come up to me, and let me paint the picture of a normal day at work for me. I'm working, I'm cashing out people, orange little thing here, pink receipt there, blue receipt to the bank, the customer, and also outside that door, back where that exit sign, there is this, at 70th and Walnut, there was this tap room, and it was called Froggies, and there was this green neon frog going across the sign, and all it said was, Froggies, leap on in, and I'm all day, I'm looking at that. So these four cute little girls come up to this young dude with his hormones racing and say, Robbie, would you like to go to Froggies after work? I'm like, yes. Absolutely. I'm all in, man. And it was the death of me. It was really not a good thing for this guy. I never drank in a tap room. We drank in the back of Woody Wagons. You know what I mean? Three cases of Tennessee Green Ale. What are you doing? Drinking! You know? You play pool? No! We go out and look for girls? No, we're drinking. Like, how can that not make sense to you? We're drinking. You know, so we're drinking. So I go to the bar, and guess what? The whole thing's about drinking. They got music and shuffleboard and pool and darts, but it's about drinking. So I love it. Love it. Love it. Love. I love the mirrors. I love the bottles. I love the special smell coming out of the bathroom. I like it all. At about 8 o'clock, the most craziest thing happens. You know, you guys know what that is. The three girls are all like, "Okay, we're going home." I'm like, "Really?" At that point, like, I mean, you come in, like, Frank Sinatra's on, I Did It My Way, and there's a small smoke coming up, and kind of a gentle how was work type thing. And by like 8:15 at night, Van Halen's on, Running with the Devil. You know what I mean? There's already been one or two fights, a few phone calls looking for people, and, you know, fights, and like, where are you going? It's just starting to get good, you know? That's when I started excelling, you know? And so I let them go. And I'm a drunk. I'm 18 years old. I'm in a bar. I don't need you. I don't need Bones Hunking Killer. I don't need these chicks. I don't need nobody. I need me. Why? Because I got my alcohol. That's all I need. That's all I ever needed. And once I got alcohol, you weren't my friend anymore anyway, unless you had more alcohol. You weren't. Alcohol became the most important thing in my life. Okay? In the doctor's opinion, Dr. Stuckey says the alcohol drinks because they like the effect produced by alcohol. I'm so blessed because I'm not that type of alcohol. I'm not that square peg trying to fit in the round hole. I told you that. I feel so, you know, I'm not that type of alcohol that all of a sudden I picked up a drink at 15 like, whoosh, my skin fit and everything's great now. I don't want to drink. That's not my story. I fit in. I played quarterback on the football team. I was pretty smart in school. I fit in with the good kids, the jocks, the burnout. You know what I mean? I could shoot hoops. I could play some horse. I had friends, girlfriends, never had a problem. You know what I mean? I fit in. But what happened with me is what it says in Doctor's Opinion. It says I picked up a drink and I like the effect produced by it. It says I got this phenomenon of craving that once I pick up a drink, I can't stop drinking. I don't want to. I love it. And I'm okay. I don't need to stop drinking. All right? I just love it. All right? And at that bank, I started giving myself gradual raises. Yeah. That generally has to come from the vice president. I had never been in the back of a police car at this point. Never. Never. Back then, if you got pulled over, I was out with Bones Loving Killer, and we were drinking some cases of Genesee Cream Ale, the Philadelphia police pulled you over, they took your beer. And if you were really drunk, Bones, it was his car. If it was really drunk, he'd take the keys and say, come down to 15th District at Levick and Harrison and pick up the keys tomorrow morning. He'd be like, oh, come on, Elvis, can we at least have the beer? No. All right. And that's what they did back then. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I'm just reporting. And so I never been in trouble. I'm just a drunk, you know. And there's all the little things I did, like the little bad guy things. It wasn't that bad. But regardless, I'd never been in trouble. Okay? And now, when you take money from a bank, that's like a federal offense. I saw the FDIC outside the bank. Wasn't really sure what that meant. And I show up for work one day, and everybody at Froggy's knows me now. I'm going Monday night's dart night, Tuesday night's billiards, Wednesday's night's shuffleboard team. And I'm there every night, you know. And I'm obviously drinking, and so is everybody else on the bank's money. All right? And generally not accepted. Let me go right to the big book for a half second and tell you what I'm getting ready to share with you. Last page of Bill's story on page 16 on the left-hand side. Bill says, newcomers in AA are shocked at our seeming worldliness and our levity, our humor. Is anyone here in their first 90 days of sobriety? Raise your hand, and I'm not trying to embarrass you. Good to see you guys. And it says the newcomers are usually shocked at our seeming worldliness or levity. And usually I can pick you guys out, because most times you're not laughing. Because they said you can't laugh from something you haven't healed from yet. And we understand that. I remember being at my first convention, but there was nothing funny about what the speaker was sharing about. You know, I had just come into AA, and, you know, I was actually on the run from the law at the time. My mom and dad didn't want to have nothing to do with me. My little sister had told me off numerous times. I had hated myself. I'd already tried to kill myself a few times. I mean, sex. I hadn't had sex in like 2.5 years. I mean, with somebody else. And it was just like... All the new guys are like, yo, dude, I don't do that, man. And life was horrible. So what's so funny? We understand that. So Bill says, I know you're shocked at this sometimes when you come to AA and you hear all this laughter. What's so funny? Think you have a life like me? Think your family disowned you? Did people tell you you were a bum too? Did you get kicked out of rehabs like me? Did you go to places where you just wanted to kill yourself? Huh? What's so funny? I don't get it. And then Bill says in the next paragraph down on page 16, left hand side, he says, but just underneath it is a deadly earnestness. All right? And that's what I want to get into now. Because when I showed up at the bank one day, maybe a couple months into there, and I'm already going to temple, everything's going great, right? I show up at the bank, and there's two guys from the FBI. They got flat tops. They got guns on their side. They got handcuffs coming out the rear end. They said, is your name Robert Walker? I said, yes, it is. And they told me to get against the thing, and I put my hands against the thing, and they patted me down, all right? And they took me out of that bank in handcuffs. And I'm here to tell you it was the most horrific day in my life. They put me in the back of the car. I don't like anybody touching the top of my head, because they roll, cops would always, you know, put your head in, like, you always got to put your head down so you don't hit your head. Like, and I would go in this, I was to be in this unmarked federal car and to go to this building called the Wagner Building in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is a federal building. And I ended up at this place called the Roundhouse at 8th and Race. And I finally ended up at this prison on State Road called Holmesburg Prison. And the judge gave me a year. Okay? Told you what I was like. I had these blue eyes. Okay? I had hair like Bruce Jenner. Okay? With the wings. Remember Bruce Jenner? Slightly athletic build. That's great for girls in high school. It's really bad for dudes in prison. I'm glad you think it's funny. It wasn't funny being there. Trust me. Hey, blue! I'm on D-Dorm. Great. And that's what I got. That's what I got. And I'll be honest, it says in our big book, it says, frothy emotional appeal won't do for people. Like, we gotta have depth and weight. Let's get into some of that depth and weight. That whole year I was scared to death. I wasn't making no jokes. I wasn't playing spades with the guys and acting a tough guy. I wasn't being real that in the day room. I was being quiet and whimperish and trying to keep to myself and keep my sexuality the way it was, if you know what I'm saying. Huh? You with me?
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun. Every night I did the practice of the alcohol prayer. Help me with it if you know it. Dear God, help me get this one, and I'll never... please get me your wife a Bubba Jose and Spider and I'll never drink again. It's still amazing to me today that I go to these guys and try to help them. The guys that I could see it in some of them. I could see the predators in some of these guys. And I can't believe that someday I try to help them. I'm not pointing you two guys. Sorry. Well, maybe you. But the reality of it is it was horrible. And I hate that every day I'm going to these Baptist things, I'm going to these Catholic things, and I'm going to these Seventh-day Adventist things, and I'm going to charismatic things. Praise the Lord, I'll wash your feet. I love you, Jesus. I don't want to drink. What do you think I did the first night out?
Right.
That's right. I'm easy to figure out, aren't I? I drank the first night out. By the third night, I'm back in the rehab. By the second night, I'm back in prison. Guards, welcome back. Good to have you back. That's who I am. I can't stop screaming. I don't care. Nothing's going to stop it. And then all of a sudden, anybody in here carried a message in the institutions? Raise your hand. Anybody? Look at that. Ooh, look at that. I like that. Look at you people. I love you people. Because I was in these prisons and these rehabs, and I started going to psych wards, and AA, everyone was talking, come in, you know, with a big book and all these teeth. AA. You know, we're from AA. Great. Oh, I hate it. AA, you know, looking good, smile, look how nice you look. You know, oh, you're so, oh, look at that. Oh, you look so nice. You know, and I hated myself. I was always on the back row, with, you know, looking down, hating myself. I just can't wait for this meeting to end. I don't want to be here. I'm okay. I want to drink. And I just want to forget about everything, you know. What happened to me? What happened to me? What happened to me? You know, I can't go back to being that star athlete anymore. I can't go back to being that big brother and hanging out at grandma's. I can't do it. Or going on test rides with dad, trying to learn how to. Or going to the Eagles games with dad and sitting up front and just do all these things. Like, go to the diner and all these neat things, you know, helping dad do the lawn or making a bench. Because now I'm like this different culture. Now I'm a drunk. And I just got to drink and do all these immoral things and hang out with these people that are just like me, man. And I don't like it, but I can't stop it. I'm not trained on downhill, man. You know what I mean? And life was absolutely horrible. I hated jail. I hated prison. I hated rehabs. I hated you people. I hated alcoholics. I hated drug addicts. I hated mental messed up people. I hated counselors. I hated cops. I hated prison guards. I hated me. And that's where booze takes a guy like me. You see, we come to AA and we uplift each other. Huh? We come to AA and we come to these meetings and, hey, you look good tonight. It's good to see you. You know, hey, how's the family? How was your Thanksgiving? You know, how's your daughter? How's your son? How's your boyfriend? How's your husband? How's your wife? Huh? How's the job doing? You know, if there's somebody sick in your family, we'll remember that next week. Hey, how's that sick person? Oh, good, I'm glad. Good, good. You know, we support each other. I didn't have that when I was out there. It was the exact opposite. I'll get you before you get me. Alcoholism. You know, the lonely disease. And I was the type of guy that was supposed to just die. I was a kid that was supposed to just hang himself up in a prison. I was a kid that was supposed to slash his wrist so many times that there was no coming back one day. And my mom and dad fully suspected that. Okay? I'll bring you to my very last drunk. My very last drunk, right around here somewhere. Exton Square Mall in Exton, PA. Is that anywhere near here?
No.
Good. And I don't know if I owe anybody the men's in the room, you know. I'm always scared when I'm in PA or Jersey. But anyway, I'm in the Exton Square Mall, and I'm hungry. And I end up, this is the end of my story, my dream story. I end up at Hickory Farms. And at this point, I had a case out of June. And what that means is, you know where the cameras are, the alarms are, you know the escape route, you know who's got the money, you know where the surveillance is, you know where the security is. So I go in, okay, what's your name? Sandra? See, Sandra's a small girl. Right? Nice small girl, I would suggest. And there was a girl behind the register looking about Sandra's size. Nice small petite, right? I know you're going to love me after the meeting, right? So anyway, so there's a girl in there like Sandra's size, a small girl. And I looked her up and down and I said, I can take her. You know what I mean? That's how I chased out a joint. And I go in and I put the salami and cheese down my pants, this round thing, and I'm trying to walk out with this big round thing in my groin. I just want to eat. I don't want to rob her money. I don't want to mess with Sandra. I just want her food. You know what I mean? And I'm walking out because I want to eat. I'm hungry. I'm a drunk. I don't got a job. You know? And I'm walking out. Remember I told you I played quarterback? Well, when you play tonight, there's a game on right now. You know, and when Tom Brady goes back, you know, he can hand it off to his running back if the tight end, you know, goes on him. If he sees the tight end go to running back, sometimes he'll just take it right out the middle, get about 5 yards, you know, take on a linebacker, you know, go on the ground, pick the dirt out of his face mask, go back to the huddle. Second down, call the play. And that's what I was like. I knew how to do that. Well, this girl at this point in my life, Sandra, flies through the air and tackled me. It gets worse. And she held me down till the mall police got there. That's bad. You ever got locked up by mall police? Stop questioning, dude. You belong here. So horrible. I got a little girl. I'm divorced. I got a little girl. She's 10 years old. Every once in a while, little Allison comes to the meetings with me when I share that, you know. And every once in a while, I take her to the mall on Sundays. You know, always. I'm always at the mall with her on Sundays, you know, Build-A-Bear. And we're at the mall. And if she ever sees a mall cop, she says, Daddy, go hug the mall police, please. And I think she's not listening, playing that little Nintendo thing. She's listening. So I got locked up. I got sent away to this place called Chester County Farms Prison. All right, it's somewhere next to Pennsylvania. I got a 1 to 2 year bid. A 1 to 2 year bid for salami and cheese. They mess with us drunks, don't they? And in that bit, during this 1 to 2 year bid for salami and cheese, I ended up taking a I ended up getting in a fight with a dude, alright? And I ended up in the hole. And I got on maximum security. I'm comfortable on maximum security. I told you, I'm a guy of chaos. I don't mind. You ever see Locked Up on Saturday night at 10 o'clock? Love it. MSNBC, love it. I don't think I've ever been on it, but I love it. And I'm that guy, I'm that crazy guy, singing band on the run at 2 in the morning. I am. I got inmates wanting to kill me. Shut up. You know, I'm nuts. I'm crazy. I told you that. Glass at hand, our minds are warped. I'm gone. It says on page 62, full flight from reality. No, 23. Full flight from reality. Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm not in reality anymore. I'm in some planet. It's not Earth. You know what I mean? I'm messed up. And one day, and the guards come down and they tell me to stand down. That means get on your belly and go spread eagle. And I don't stand down. You know, I don't stand down. It's not who I am. I fought for a second or two. And I got beat within an inch of my life, and it felt comfortable getting beat. It felt comfortable getting kicked on the side, getting punched in the head, okay, in the eye sockets, and getting my jaw wired up for cuckoo. It's what I deserve. Hurt me more, kill me. And they almost did. I ended up in the hole of this prison, Chester County Farms prison, and I was naked. I'll never want to forget this, and I always got to tell this at the end of my story. I was naked, and I was hurting, and the only thing in the cell was a hole. I can never not tell my story and tell you. And you know what you do in that hole? You defecate and you urinate. And there's no toilet paper, there's no rack, there's no sink, there's no mirror. Nothing. And that's where I go. And this dude said, shall, and gave me my food tray, and I took that spork that they give you in prison, and I cut my arm up and down until I couldn't go on any longer. And I didn't want no attention. I didn't want to go to the insane asylum. I wanted to die because alcohol had won the battle. That's my story. And that's where it should have ended up. A call. My mom and dad in Northeast Philadelphia. Mrs. Walker, we have bad news. Your son expired last night. He took his life. I have one of my best friends, her brother, committed suicide. And I can so relate. Because that's what I wanted to do. Alcohol won the battle. But for some reason, when I came to this infirmary, tied them to bed, they put an orange jumpsuit on me and gave me some dignity. They ended up taking me out of that prison on a gurney and an ambulance and took me to a place called Haverford State Hospital in Haverford, Pennsylvania. Nice area. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. I pulled up tonight in a beautiful BMW convertible. I have a beautiful home in Ocean City, New Jersey. I got a host of friends. I'm a manager at a very large dealership, a car dealership. I know you would have never known I was a car dealer. I don't know why it's always so fun, man. I've been on the job for 21 years. I do our commercials. I train guys on how to be a good car salesman. All right? That's the kind of life I have today. I have a daughter that respects me and honors me, that I'll do anything for. Page 19 of this book on the right-hand side, third sentence down, says a much better demonstration of our AA principles lies in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. I don't want to impress you for 50 minutes here. That's not important to me, because I can do it. I'm on stage a lot, and I'm on, you know, film a lot. That doesn't... don't take what I say here as anything important. Come to my home, all right? See my little baby when I have her on the weekends, all right? Come to my occupation and see how, you know, the employees treat me or I treat my employees, okay? All right? Meet some of my friends. Meet some of my sponsees. Or talk to my sponsor. His name is Johnny H. from North Wildwood, New Jersey. He's got 36 years of sobriety. I think Mary Beth might have met him. You guys know him from North Wildwood. He's got to come out here and share. You guys will love him. That's a much better demonstration. I want to live this program in all my affairs. I woke up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, after this mental hospital. And I looked up in the heavens and I did the AA entry prayer, "Dear God, please help me." Because you guys taught me that. You guys have carried the message in the institutions, taught me that. And I got sober here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hated myself. I had that guttural language. After 3 months of staying sober, I got kicked out of the local AA club in Kalamazoo, Michigan, because I was a little belligerent, you know. And there was this dude standing by the door. His name was Don C. Don C told me to get in his truck. I just got kicked out by some AA thugs. You know, because that was my attitudes and behaviors. So at the end of the first step of the 12 and 12, we have to adopt these attitudes and actions, which usually aren't normal to us. It says at the end of the first step, who cares to admit complete defeat? Who cares to sacrifice time and energy for a suffering alcoholic? Okay? Who cares anything about prayer or meditation? Who cares anything? And then it says, no, not the average alcoholic, self-centered in the stream. They don't care for this prospect. But those that do, those that are here tonight, I'm guessing, we have to do to stay alive ourselves. Thank you. And that's who I am today. That's why I drove 2.5 hours to my office tonight. That's why I'm going to just get like the last 2 minutes of this game tonight, Patriots and Saints. And I'm starting 2 of the quarterbacks on my fantasy teams. I want to see it. First things first. Actually, I realized this game was on tonight. But when they said yes, on this program, Jeff. But anyway, but the reality of it is today, man, I got sober. This dude took me home to his house, took me to meetings that would put up with my crack for 9 months, all right? Got me to say, go home to my parents and meet them again. And I got sober, man. I started doing these things you told me to do. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. Today, man, I'm a meeting maker. I make meetings. I love meetings. I just love meetings. I do. I like going on Saturdays and Sundays in my jeans, in my sweatshirt, you know, comfortable. I don't like going. But I go when I gotta go when I can. And nothing comes in front of my sobriety. Nothing is more precious than my sobriety. I didn't say my little daughter's not important, or my ex-wife isn't important, or my job's not important. I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. What I did say that, if I don't stay sober, none of that's going to be here anyway. They smashed that in my conscience early on, that I couldn't drink. Early on. They said, remember, it says in this book somewhere, remember you agreed at the beginning to go to any lens for victory over alcohol. Huh? And that's what I got to do today. I love this stuff. You know, on the way home, I'll listen to little Tom Petty, the Heartbreaker. You know what I mean? I'll have my fun. I got my Starbucks. I'll get a Starbucks. I'll enjoy myself. And I'm not in bad company alone. You know?
Oh, I can't go alone. I can't be alone. I'm in bad company.
Do the fifth step, please. Do the fifth step. It says you don't have to worry about being alone anymore. You will always have a God with you once you tell your whole entire story to another alcoholic. Beautiful thing. You know, please take these steps off the wall. I beg of you. It says we beg of you from the very beginning to be fearless and thorough from the very start. I got told if you don't take that step off the wall, you're going to have an off-the-wall program. I like that. I don't want to come here and be like, how's Rob? I don't know. Don't talk to him today. He's having a bad day. His girlfriend broke up with him, or he doesn't know his bills paid yet. No. Oh, that stuff's important. But let me tell you something. If I'm working this program, it's like anything. I love that Grapevine article where there's this dude just out of penitentiary. You can tell he's just out of penitentiary. He's stubble. He's got like a zoot suit on from like 1982, you know? And he's sitting in the front row, real big guy with stubble, and you know, you can tell he's been to penitentiaries and the roughest places, you know, fights and gang wars. And they said, hey, what's wrong with Badhead Henry? Oh, somebody told him his tie didn't look good tonight. You know? And we're sensitive people. See, I can relate to that. You know? So I know, like, sometimes it's not easy, you know, to be here and to be sensitive. We're sensitive or grandiose. I know that. It's in the book. And I know. I got to, there's a meeting every night. Every Friday night at my place in Ocean City, New Jersey. You can't all come at once. But if you're ever visiting Ocean City, New Jersey, make sure you get my card for the meeting. We have a big book meeting in my house. All right? And we talk about this stuff. We talk about the solution. All right? We talk about our problems because we got there. We're problem people. But then we talk about the solution. So as I get ready to close, I know I'm coming out. I'm up on my hour at this point, and I don't want to hold you guys. It's a good. All the football guys are like, "Yo, dude, hurry up, dude!" And I'm going to bring this to a close. I just hope that I can press upon you that I'm real. I'm real. You know, I am. I just love AA. You know, I go all over the United States speaking through the ground. I'm getting ready to go to England. Me. I'm a 3-time convicted felon. Okay, I can't even be bonded. I can tell you at our safe, at our dealership on Saturdays, I close it. I can tell you there's many nights that I do drops of thousands and thousands of dollars. And my owner trusts me. Huh? See, that's the difference. You know, I don't have to be. Alcohol doesn't call the shots anymore. Mom, I have a mother that just loves the heck out of me. I do my best to take care of her. I have a little sister that is very proud of me. Okay? And I have a life that is better than beyond my wildest dreams. I have a life that has blown me away. And it's all because I've taken a few different set of directions that I didn't want to take that are intellectually insulting to my mind. But for some reason they work. I constantly work with others. Tomorrow night, I'm telling you, I'm going to be at the penitentiary. You know, I'm going to be there. I have to be. I have no choice. That's not glamorous. And but you know what? If I do that stuff, I'll continue to get better a day at a time. And I ask you to do yourself a favor. If you got a big book, man, please, man, don't be afraid to mark it up. You know, don't be afraid to get one of these 12 and 12s and find out what Bill wrote in it. And get some highlighters. If you're my sponsor, man, you got highlighters, you got stuff written in here. A lot of times, if I'm at a big book meeting to read something, I gotta kind of go like this. You can't really read what's in here. It might be deep, you know. I write down what I got to write down over the years, you know. And I've gotten involved. I became a member of AA. I'll end with this. You know, if you're here, get over with. Why are you farting around? What could be so fun about Monday night sitting here and listening to a speaker for an hour? If you're here, at least get it over with and join us. Start to help us make the coffee. You know, become the secretary of the GSR, the guy getting the speaker. Or go out on those nights. I love road trips with my guys, and we go out and we go to conventions and all kind of cool places. You know, I'm getting ready to go to the Hilton Head Convention, Hilton Head, South Carolina, man, on the beach. You know, I'm going to bring some new guys with me and turn them on to it. We're going to hang out with Clancy and Sandy Beach, huh? And just have a great time. You know, if AA is the most dynamic thing in your life, find somebody that has it. Look in their eyes. Feel it. Find somebody who's charged up. Find somebody who's got a book. Huh? Find somebody that's involved. Find somebody who's doing that coffee. Find those people at the coffee bar at the end of the meeting. Find those guys standing up around the meeting and doing those announcements. Find out what they're doing. And do it. Because the life you save might be your own. So from a guy from Ocean City, New Jersey, I want to thank everybody from the Feet First group. I love you very much. Thank you.
One more thing before we close.
Real quick, I'm Dave and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
And one of our group members has an anniversary tonight. Joe's got 1 year.
Let's have a moment of silence for still suffering alcoholics, not blessed enough to be in a circle like this. I got taught early on
The reason we hold hands in a circle, well, it's kind of a dysfunctional circle, but the reason we hold hands in a circle is to signify that what we can't do alone, we can certainly do together. If you're having one of those nights, man, where all you got to do is hang on. Remember, you're hanging on to somebody on your right and somebody on your left that cares about you. You don't have to drink or kill yourself or do anything stupid. Stay with us because we need you.